Dan Anderson always says, life is for service. Keep that in mind.
In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35 say, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
This is the chorus, and if we're singing the chorus, we would welcome you to join us. It's a little bit different melody than you may have heard it before. It goes like this.
Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be.
Psalm 22. This morning it's about the cross. Our kids, sixth grade to second grade, can stay up for communion this morning, but the first grade and down can go downstairs for junior church. Before we have the light side of grace, the saving side of grace, we had to get the dark side of grace. Is grace costly? Costly. It took the death of our Savior, and we need to think about that this morning. Sometimes we forget the agony and the pain, and Psalm 22 is the description of the dark side of grace. And I want you to know it's only the first half. The second half is the light side, the victory side of grace, from tragedy to triumph. Amen? Jeff, come and read it for us, please.
Morning, would you stand as we honor God's word? Psalm 22, verse 1, will be in 7 and 8, 14 through 19 as well. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from my words of my roaring? All they that see me laughed me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have encompassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots among my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, hast thee to help me." Thank you.
You may be seated. Psalm 22 is a psalm that gives prophecy that is not fulfilled any other place in history or anything. The cross, the nailing of the hands and the feet was not in the time of the writing of David here. The only stoning was criminal offense. There was no crucifixion, no nailing to a cross, and there is nothing like it. And also the nailing to the cross was just a small time of Roman rule. It's amazing, amazing how this prophetic psalm is totally given to the fulfilling of the death of Jesus, and it's wonderful. And we see that he is forsaken. He is on a cross here. Look at verse 1, Psalm 22, verse 1. This is the cry from the cross. In three of the Gospels, it portrays it. And this is heaviness. This is a God forsaken. This is our Savior forsaken. That He, the perfect Son of God, I do not understand it. I just believe it. That all of our sins were placed on Him. And for that three-hour period, God and Him were separated and forsaken. And here His heart is crying. He is dying for the sins of the world. And you need to realize your sins put Him there. And He's not forsaken for Himself. And He says, "My God," this is a cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me? Where are You?" And from the words of my roaring, I'm crying out, You're silent. Where are You? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I'm not silent, but You're silent, God. Where are You? I need that. There's a separation. There is a forsaking of the Father, of the Son. That should never happen, but it happened for you and me. Don't let it get old hat. Don't forget that. That's why we take communion. Communion is, man, for me. And He was forsaken for me, not for Himself. And He's hurting and He's forsaken and He's wondering, where are You? And He's hurting bad and He's crying. We need to let that touch us. Don't let that just go quickly. A forsaken part of the deity by the Father to the Son because of us, because of sin. He was bearing our sins, your sins, my sins, the world's sins. You know, every person in the world can go to heaven because of what God did here, Jesus did. And He was forsaken for that. He paid our sin debt. Either you die in hell forever for your sins, or you trust Him. And He's forsaken here. He's forsaken. That's just heavy thoughts here. Secondly, He is mocked. He is mocked in verses 6, 7, and 8. Look at it with me. "But I am a worm, just worthless, and no man, I'm not even a man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people." They're all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They're mocking me, they're searing me, they shoot out their lips, they shake their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord." Catch this verse, this is a good verse, verse 8. "He trusted in the Lord that He would deliver him, that He would rescue him. Let Him deliver him." Seeing, catch this. You got to catch all the he's. The pronouns are so many pronouns here. He delighted in Him. God, Jesus said, God the Father loves me The He there is God the Father, seeing that God the Father delights, loves in Jesus. And He said He loved Him. Now show it. Where is it? And they're mocking Him and they're scorning Him. They're making fun of Him. Everybody's doing it. He was forsaken. He was mocked by all of the religious leaders and everybody around. Even in another text, it says that even the criminals mocked Him. Aren't you glad one of them turned and received Him? They were all making fun of Him. If you're such a great God and all-powerful, hey, come down. Huh? You know, I put you there. I'm better than you. And they were defaming Him, de-deifying Him, and here He's God. They mocked, they ridiculed, they scorned, they railed at Him, and they sneered, they shaked their heads. He's not who He says He is. They mocked Him, and then they crucified Him. Look at this, verse 12. Look at verse 12. Now, this is very poetic words. Many bulls, many enemies have compassed me, verse 12, surrounded me, herd of bulls, like a herd of bulls. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset around me. They've grappled with me with their mouths. They're trying to take their jaws and eat me like a lion. They rave. They're vicious and roaring lions about me. I am poured out like water. Did he bleed water and blood? You know, he's dying here. All my bones are out of joint. Note that not a bone was broken. They were all out of joint. Not a bone was broken. That's another prophecy. My heart is like wax. It's melting in the midst of my bowels. Did he die of a broken heart? Think about that. Hey. And he said in verse 15, my strength has dried up like sun-baked clay, like potash. It's just terrible. Ashes. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. Jesus said on the cross, I what? Thirst. Okay. And then verse 15, the last part, it says, you have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. He's dying there. Verse 16, for dogs have compassed me, surrounded me like a pack of dogs. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, all of the unbelievers around Him. They pierced my hands and my feet. One of the greatest statements for Jesus. When they came at the end, He said, Thomas, He says what? Look at my what? My hands, my feet, my side. I'm He. I was dead, but I'm alive. And that's the thrill of it. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. When He looked at, they were all sticking out at Him. They look and stare upon me. They were out of joint. When you're crucified, they parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. This is one of the prophecies here that He didn't do, that somebody had to do to Him. And it's a miraculous there, because somebody could read all of these things and say, I thirst, my God, you know, they could say some of those things. But this had to happen to Him from an outside source. And it's pretty neat. It's quoted in our scriptures. And you're sitting there going, wow. Everybody turn. Keep your place in Psalm 22. Let's go to Matthew 27. In Matthew 27, the sequel passages are Mark 15, Luke 23, John 19. But I want us to go to Matthew 27. And I want us to read verse 35. Matthew 27. I want you to catch some of these beautiful statements here. I trust you there. Everybody, teenagers, everybody look on. Get your Bibles out or whatever device you have. Matthew 27, verse 35. These are the prophecies. David wrote it by inspiration of God 1,000 years before Jesus arrived. And this prophecy is fulfilled to the very letter here. Matthew 27, accounting the account of the crucifixion, verse 35, 27, 35, Matthew. And they crucified Him and parted His garments and cast lots, right there's the thing, that it might be fulfilled, Psalm 22, which was spoken by the prophet David, Psalm 22. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. Amen? That is so neat to realize the Old Testament proves the New Testament. The New Testament proves the Old Testament. And it was written 1,000 years before. It's called prophecy, and it's wonderful. And that's what our faith is based upon, and we realize that's a miracle. Verse 39, Matthew 27, 39. And they passed by, railing him, wagging their heads. Even the thing of wagging their heads from Psalm 22. Verse 41. Likewise, all the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders, saying, jump down to verse 43. He trusted in God, a direct quote from Psalm 22. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. I am the blessed of God. God loves me. Okay? And verse 44. The thieves also, note the plural there. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. Verse 49, 46. Here's probably the most famous, and some called it just the most terrifying words of Scripture. The darkness, dark side of grace. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Powerful statements here. Our forsaken, mocked, crucified Savior. Turn with me to John chapter 19. Everybody turn to John chapter 19. And we're going to read that. Another great text. Just giving some great, great verses. I have three verses here in John 19. Verse 23, 24, and 28. I trust you're there. And then we're going to go right back to Psalm 22. John chapter 19, verse 23. Another account of it. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments. This is most beautiful because they had to do this to him. It's not like what we have today of all of our rights all over our world today. So many people are paid to do that. Okay? It's all, much of it is set up. This isn't a setup. These soldiers were there and they found out that the robe was a single woven robe. It was worth something, so they cast lots for it. And then the soldiers, John 19, verse 23, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, and he said, and every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. Then said among themselves, let us not rend it, tear it apart, but cast lots for it, whole. Whose it is shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my remnant among them, and my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Amen? And it proves the salvation in the scriptures. Verse 28, another statement. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were to be accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, what? I thirst. And it says his roof of his mouth was plastered too. He was thirsty. And this is what our God did. And it's just wonderful to catch that and to realize we have a forsaken Savior, a mocked Savior, a crucified Savior, and it is just wonderful there. Let's go back to Psalm 22, verse 3. We not only have a forsaken Savior, a mocked Savior, a crucified Savior, we have a trusting Savior. Huh? The darkness is the first three points. And I want you to note in the text here, we have verse 3. I want you to go to verse 3. After two or three verses, every time there's a trust statement. And we're going to go through them all. And here darkness is all around. Sin is being paid for. Your sins, my sins, everybody's sins. And we need to not take that lightly. And he's dying. The death of a criminal, the lowest of lows. It took a lot of time. And fulfilling all of the prophecies of wonder. All in the midst of that, darkness. light starting to show. Look at verse 3, Psalm 22, verse 3. But thou art holy. Is that cool? You know, God, where are you? And then he says, you're holy. I trust you. You are holy, verse 3. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded, disappointed, disgraced. Since I know that you're holy, and I know you're just, and I know that you're good, and I know that you're God the Father, and I feel forsaken, I'm going to trust you. You delivered them, you can what? Deliver me. That's awesome. Look at verse 9. Verse 6, 7, and 8, he's there shooting their tongues out at him, they're wagging their heads, they're mocking him. Verse 9, another statement of trust. Light's turning on, darkness is dispelling, grace is coming on for salvation instead of being set the salvation account of death. Verse 9, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God. Is that cool? Thou art my God from my mother's belly. From the very moment I was born, you're my God. Now I'm dying right now, and I'm forsaken, and I'm feeling mocked, but you're my God, huh? You're my God. I hope you feel that way. You're my God. And then verses 12, 13, 14, he's just being poured out in his bones and everything, and everything's happening to him. Look at verse 19. Again, we see hope and trust come alive. Be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. You know, spare my soul. I'm precious before you. Verse 21, save me, snatch me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn, from the horns of the wild oxen. The lights are coming on. It's before it was, where are you? And mocking and death and crucified and pain and silence in heaven. Now he says in these verses, you're hearing me. Do you ever feel like God's silent and heaven's closed and it just doesn't go anywhere? Huh? Keep praying. On the cross for 3 hours, weeping, wailing, suffering, crying, begging for heaven, feeling forsaken, noticing all of the unbelief, the mocking, the killing, the pounding of the nails, the cutting of the side, the thorns on his head, the suffering, the dying. Had God forsaken him? No. Just for a moment, for us. For sin, to pay the price for our sin. Let that touch you this morning as we realize that it's why we're saved. Then we get to the place of a trusting Savior. Now we have a victorious Savior. And it's wonderful to realize that. To realize, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Things change. The lights come on. Darkness dispels. There's no more despair in the rest of the whole chapter. From 22 to 31 of Psalm 22. It says, I will declare thy name unto the brethren. Victory's here. I'm alive. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye that of seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye of the seed of Israel, for he hath not despaired, despised nor abhorred the afflicted of the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Is victory coming here? I just want you to note the march of victory here. The forsaking, the mocking, the crucifying. Is past, trust is building, victory is claimed here. And it says, verse 25, my praise shall be unto thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied, victory. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindred of the nation shall worship before thee. Victory. For the kingdom of the Lord, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations, all they that be fat. I know you don't like that word in our culture. That's a great word in the Bible. They were healthy. They were well fed. They were satisfied. They were at rest, at peace. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust die shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. They need help. And the seed shall serve. It shall be accounted to the Lord for generations. They shall come, and they shall declare his righteousness unto his people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Future generations will hear, and the wonders of God and the righteous acts of God will be told. He wins. And if he wins, you win. And that's what it's all about. And even on the cross, turn with me to Luke 23. Everybody turn there, and we're going to have communion. Luke 23. Everybody turn there. He's on the cross. They're crucifying him. Forsaken, mocked, crucified. And here he's on the cross. Luke 23. Everybody turn there. Verse 39. He's not in sadness. He's not in a mode of, God, where are you? He's trusting and he's in victory. And verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. I trust you there. And one of the malefactors, the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, mocked him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and me. Verse 40. But the other answering, rebuking him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You're dying today, bud. And indeed, justly, you deserve it, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. Somehow in the jail, there was noised around that this was an innocent man. Okay? But this man hath done nothing amiss, nothing worthy of death. Verse 42. And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord. Is that a big word? Jesus, my King. I hope you understand that that word is the best word in the Bible, the highest word. And you're my King, you're my God, you're my Creator. I owe you everything. You're my Savior. You're everything. Jesus, Lord, remember me. That's how you get saved. Is that right? Jesus, help, I'm dying. Be my God, my Savior, my Deliverer, my hope, my help. You're God. Remember me! I hope you've said that in your life. Hope somewhere in your life that you've received Jesus, because he's the crucified Savior. He's not only the crucified Savior, he's the victorious Savior. Amen? That's so important that we catch that. I trust you know that when we take communion here. Rejoice that he died for me. Let it touch you. Let it touch you. And then realize, I'm saved. And then ask God to convict you of any sin. Because at the communion service, if you've dealt with your sins and asked God to forgive you, you should be completely forgiven at this time. Now, maybe you sin in another 15 or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, okay? But at this point in taking communion, you should be, as the old preacher said, all fessed up. Is that right? That's the neatness of communion. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed in the kingdom. And he said in verse 43, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, it's the truth, today thou shalt be with me. Was he going to win? In paradise. I'm going to my Father. You're going to come with me. And here victory is there and in the midst of our communion. I want you to know the dark side of grace, the dark side of communion, that he died and let it touch you for you, not for him. And then the light side and the victory side, the triumphant side is he wins, we win. He's alive, we shall live also. That's how you take communion. Men, come forward for our communion. Let's let God talk to us in our communion here. Talk to to your children if you need to. Very important. You need to revel. You need to worship. You need to thank God. And then come out confessing your sins, and then praise God for forgiving your sins, and then worship Him, praise Him forever. That's communion. Don't just eat the bread and drink the cup, huh? Don't just go through the motions. Do obey. But let the worship of God, the forgiveness of God, the highness of God, the sacrifice of God, the crucifixion, the victory, huh? Let it touch you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today as we take communion. Help each of us to know that it cost you your life. His only begotten Son, so that we could live. Lord, help us never to get over it like somebody giving us their kidney or their liver or whatever. They had to die so we could live. God, help us never to forget it, that You had to die so we could live. Help us to thank You and praise You. And then, Lord, confess all our sins and claim forgiveness and rise in victory and realize we win. We're victorious in Christ. Lord, make our communion today true worship and special because of Psalm 22. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Everybody turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we close with this great, great text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He is my victorious Savior. I would like to start at the end here and go to the beginning. I'd like to start with verse 21 and flow to verse 17. Since I'm in a backward mode. But there is a tragedy, and God brings triumph to it. And we need to understand that and rejoice in it and realize that, man, God has brought us from light to darkness, and He has paid it all. And we need to just say, God, thank You for all that You've done and are doing and will continue to do. In this time of tragedy to triumph, I was at Andrew's a couple weeks ago, and we were putting up a basketball hoop for Liam. And Andrew never buys the simplest. He always buys the heaviest. And we were putting it up there, and it weighed about 100 pounds. And we had the back bar set up, and then we had to push the other. It weighed about 100 pounds so he could push in the screws. And I was holding it up, and you don't dare let your son know that you're dying. I was dying holding it up. Hurry, Andrew, hurry, hurry, Andrew. I got to a place where I was praying. God, help him to get that screw in there. It's killing me. And then it was tragedy. I was dying. And then he got the screw in. I go, yes. My back hurt, my shoulder hurt for a couple of days. And tragedy and triumph, you realize that when you're delayed at home or something happens and you're delayed for 5 minutes and then you get on the road and there was a wreck 5 minutes. You ever been there? Been there? You know, there could have been a tragedy, but God turned it into a triumph. And it is so important to catch that. You have a nail in your tire and you go to the repairman and he finds out your whole brakes were about to fail. Huh? The best one is Lynn Grove over here. Lynn Grove had a sore throat and he went to the doctor and the doctor was looking and gave him some tests and found out he had pre-cancer. Remember that a couple years ago? And Lynn, if he hadn't had the sore throat and going to the doctor, he wouldn't have found out he had pre-cancer and God took it all away. Amen? And that's triumph and the tragedy turned to triumph. And it's so important that we have darkness outside of grace. And then the victorious side of grace. And it's my crucified Savior, my victorious, my trusting Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Powerful verses here. It says, for he, got to catch all the pronouns, hath made him, God, hath made Jesus to be sin for us, for me, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, why? I've not figured that out yet. We're sinners, unable to save ourselves, and he's the righteous, holy one. He's God, and he became man to die for us and to pay our sin debt. He became sin for us so that we could receive his righteousness. All you do when you get saved is give him your sins, and he gives you his what? His righteousness. What a great gift. If you're not saved today, you need to get saved. It's just simply, God, I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. You're the Lord. I believe, huh? I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, my Savior. And you don't deserve it. It's just you believe it, you claim it, and he comes into your life and he starts living. He'll help you. Oh, preacher, I just can't get saved because I know I won't keep it. No, he'll help you keep it. You can't save yourself. You can't keep yourself saved. He does it. I want you to experience that. If you will take the first step and say, God, save me, a sinner. And then start reading your Bible. God will come alive in your life. It's a miracle. He was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness in Jesus. Verse 20, we here, okay, we have a crucified Savior. We have a victorious Savior. Now we are ambassadors. Verse 20, we are the ones that are to proclaim the truth. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye brought back to God. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He gave the world to Jesus to bring him back to him. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. They weren't paying for their own sins. Jesus paid for it. But hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The ministry of bringing people back to God. Getting forgiveness for their sins. And that's our job. Ambassadors. Reconciliation. Verse 18. And all things are of God, and hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry, the privilege, the task, the opportunity of reconciliation. We get to talk to people and tell them of that there is a Savior from their sins. There is a hope of heaven. There is a God that will help them, not only save them, but help them live the life. And if they just commit to him, he will bring them back to himself. He will take their sins and he will give them his righteousness. Woo! That's God. And he says, that's your job. I did it through Jesus. Now you do it through Jesus. Go save people. Go love people. Go tell them that there is a hope of heaven. And it's wonderful. And then the last verse, verse 17. Let's all read it together. Verse 17. Verse 17, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Aren't you glad the old self is gone and the new has come in? If you're not a Christian, all you have is your sinful, prideful, selfish, carnal, angry, fussing self. If you get saved, you have Jesus with you. He'll help you. He'll help you. Oh, you slip and fall and act like an unsaved person sometimes, but he'll help you. And that's the thrill. It's just not, I believe, and it's going to be perfect. No, you believe, and you're not alone. You got a helper. You not only have a person that will save you from hell, he'll help you live like you're going to heaven. And when you do slip and fall, he'll pick you up and forgive you and set you back up. Amen. Woo! That's why you get saved. If you're not saved here this morning, you need to get saved. If you are saved here this morning, you need to realize that He's involved in turning every tragedy into triumph, every trouble into victory. And He's not only the crucified Savior, He's the victorious Savior. And if He's victorious, we can be victorious too. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't have to live that way anymore. Lord, help me, and He will help you to live right. You can't do it without Him, but with Him you can do it. That's the thrill of it. That's the thrill of it. I trust you feel fully forgiven of all your sins right now. Huh? You've had communion. You've dealt with them. And then victorious to realize I'm saved. He's going to be with me. I'm going to slip and fall. I'm going to sin this afternoon. He's going to forgive me. He's going to help me up. He's going to use me again. I'm going to grow from it. God's good. He's good. Be victorious in Him. Enjoy your salvation. Live like you're forgiven. Claim it. Live with victory. Let it show into your life as an ambassador of reconciliation, of bringing people back to God. Just that should be our whole normal way of living. To go to work tomorrow, to be Jesus there, and to show them that Jesus forgives your sins and makes you happy. And they should come up to you as Jesus, as the thief did to Jesus on the cross. You've got something I don't have. I want it. We're guilty. You're not. Give me what you got. You claim to be God. Save me. And Jesus did. If you're saved, live like it. Enjoy it. Let other people just naturally see it. It's so neat because when I fail or do wrong or slip up or do something stupid, all I have to do is say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And people go, wow. You don't have to be perfect. You just got to celebrate Jesus all the time. That's what communion is. That's what Psalm 22 is. A crucified Savior trusting and becoming a victorious Savior. You realize that you got to crucify your sins, trust Him again, and claim victory over and over and over and over and over and over and over. That's the joyous life. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, where are you today? If you're saved, oh my, revel in it. Rejoice in it. Realize all you have in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, live like a new person. Live forgiven. Live joyously. You're declared righteous. You're forgiven. And then be an ambassador, be a reconciler, be a person that brings people back to God. Just walk through your day trying to show people Jesus, simply, normally. That's all we are, to be His ambassadors. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, man, ask Him to save you. He will come alive. He lives. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you like for me just to pray for you? I will not embarrass you. I'd love to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Sure don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Anyone, please? Christians. He lives. Is that right? Let it live. Let Him live.